Welcome back. Welcome back, man. It's been a while. So I feel like since the last time we met, I need to say a few things. Number one, Merry Christmas. I did not get to tell you that. And I also didn't get to tell you Happy New Year. Man, it is 2023. Here we go. Excited to be back with you guys. I do feel like that was an extra long break. And so it's just good to see smiling faces back in the room. My Tuesday nights have been a little bit duller over the last 2 months, and so just good to be back. As Jay said, if you're new, man, welcome. We are so glad that you're here. We started this ministry about 9 years ago, 8 years ago, just to see, like, hey, what would God want to do in the lives of young adults in Oklahoma City? It's been incredible to watch. And so what we're trying to do, let me just explain really quickly, is we're not trying to build a ministry so that Crossings or Jason or Andy would become famous. That is not the heart of this. This is not a Crossings thing. This is a Kingdom of God thing. And so I don't care where you go to church. If you go to Crossings, fantastic. If you go somewhere else, great. If you don't go to church, welcome to church. We're glad that you're here. And so we are fired up because we are prayed up. And we've been thinking about you for the last 2 months. And so we made this space for young adults in Oklahoma City because we want Jesus to be known by you. We want Jesus to be known by our city. And we want to see Jesus influence the world through you. I don't think he brings us to salvation in Christ to put us on the sideline and say, hey, let's let the professionals do it. Because here's the deal. This professional doesn't go to where you're professional. You go there. You are his ambassador for Christ. And so we come here on Tuesday nights not to check off a box of good Christian to-dos. We come here on Tuesday nights to encourage one another, to be emboldened by one another, to grow in our knowledge of God's word, to worship him because he is worth it and he is worthy of our praise. And so we don't do all this for a show because we're bored on Tuesday. We do it for three reasons, right? Our phrases are we want to belong, be known, and become like Christ. Because what we know that the young adult years can be a lonely time, especially if you're new to the city or you don't, all your friends moved away and you're like, I don't know anybody. Well, we want to create a place where you can belong, where someone knows your name. If you're old like me and you watch this show called Cheers back in the 80s and 90s, their whole song was, everybody likes to go where somebody knows their name. And that's our heart, is that you would come here and your name would be known. And then not just hang out. You can hang out anywhere, right? But a place where you can actually be known. We live in a world that we think we're known. We project an image of what we want people to know. But the heart is we desperately want to be known, fully known and truly loved. Because the problem of our world today is that we're not fully known. And so even when we're loved, we're not fully loved because we're not truly known. And we're afraid that if someone actually knows us, they will not love us. That's why we sing to Jesus, because he fully and totally and completely knows everything about you. And he completely and totally and fully loves you. There is not one thing in your life that is hidden that he does not know. Not one single thought, not one single action, not one single thing that he does not know, and he still has given his life for you that you might be his. So we come to belong, we come to be known, and that we would know the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. And then as we mature and we grow in our knowledge and our faith in Jesus, we want to become like Jesus. Not just for our own good, but for the good of those around us. That's why the gathering exists. We want to create a place for you where you can belong, where you can be known, and where you can become like Christ. And so we worship not because we just got great musicians that can lead us. We worship because he is worthy of our praise, because he fully knows you and truly and completely loves you. And I don't know about you, but that's worth my praise because people are not like that. So with that said, let me pray. We're not done, we're just getting started. So let's pray, and then we're gonna get into the Bible tonight. Lord, we just wanna thank you for just bringing each one of us here. God, we believe and know, because your word tells us, that you are working in the lives of those in this room. You are working in the lives of those watching online. God, you are at work. You don't start working on Tuesday nights. You are always working. And so, Lord, we just come humbly before you, asking that, Lord, you would reveal to us what you're doing, that we might join you in that. God, would you enlighten our minds and our hearts from your word tonight? Would you show us the goodness that you have for us? And would you give us the humility to listen and hear and submit to you, not out of fear of being scared, but fear out of reverence and awe of your greatness? We praise things in your name. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 1. As you do, I just want to maybe rewind the clock a few weeks, or the calendar, back to Christmas. And so, I don't know about y'all, but Christmas morning when you're an adult, it's good. It's not as good as it was when you were 10, though. Like, when you're 10, like, you don't sleep for days in anticipating Christmas morning, right? You see the presents start to pile up, and you see mom or dad walking in, don't look, you can't look at this. And we start shaking boxes, right? Well, I don't do that anymore. Because I have a job and I'm a grown-up, and so if I need something, I just go get it. And so the joy of Christmas now for me is giving gifts. Like, I love it so much. Like, you guys probably know if you've been around, I got lots of kids. And so my favorite thing about Christmas is watching their faces and listening for the gasps. We got two gaspers in our house. You could give them a card with a dollar in it, or you could give them, I mean, everything on their list, would be the same reaction. It's wonderful. But my youngest son, his favorite gift this year was Play-Doh. All right, how many of you guys love some good Play-Doh when you were a kid, right? It's awesome. It feels good. It feels funny in your hands. Like, wait, hold on. How many of y'all ate Play-Doh? Okay, that's too many. Put your hands down. that's a few too many. That's all right. So far, my son has not eaten the Play-Doh, but we are not with him every second, so maybe he has. But here's why he loves Play-Doh, and this is, I think, why we love Play-Doh, is that we can shape Play-Doh into anything we want it to be. Like, you can think of something, right? It's not even a physical thing. You can just think. It's this idea, and then you can shape something into what you want it to be. Now, it's probably not gonna look real good, because it's Play-Doh, right? But you are shaping and forming, and that's why we love Play-Doh. You can turn it into spaghetti. You can build a house. You can do anything with Play-Doh. You can take different colors and mash it together and make a new color. There's something in us as human beings. We love to create, and we love to shape, and we love to form things. At some level, this is what we do. This is what we do. We shape and we form. And so the reason I tell you that is this. As we get into a new year, maybe a lot of you have been thinking about big things in your life, like, you know, the resolution stuff. I'm not a big resolution person. I'm like, if it's a good idea, it's a good idea now. I don't need to wait till the new year, right? But our world seems to talk about that. And so here's a question I want to pose tonight, and I want to walk us through this biblical idea, all right? And here it is. If you're the Play-Doh, who or what have you given permission to form you? What? We're all doing it. You have, either on purpose or have just drifted into it, you have allowed something or someone to shape and form who you are. I would guess that most of it's not even intentional. Most of the things that we do that are forming us are probably not intentional. It's osmosis. We're close, it's frequent, and so we start to be molded by certain things. Because the reality of it is all of us are spiritual beings. There is a part of us that is not physical. We have bodies, yes, but there's a part of you that is spiritual. Your thoughts are spiritual. You cannot see them, you cannot feel them, but they are there. Your feelings, where do they come from? They just appear. We are spiritual beings. And so when people, I'll ask somebody like, hey, do you have faith? And they say, yeah, I'm a spiritual person. I'm like, yes, you are, right? We are. That's a truth that all of humanity knows. There is something more than just the physical. And so we need to understand that we are being shaped physically and we are also being shaped spiritually. Pastor and author John Ortberg defines spiritual forming this way. He goes, it is the process of the inner self being given shape, pattern, and character. I'm gonna say that again, because I think this is an idea that we don't talk about enough, that when we are spiritually formed, it is the process, and it is a process, of the inner self being given shape, pattern, and character. And can we not make the mistake of thinking that our world is not in the business of forming you spiritually? Can we just admit it? We live in a world where everywhere we go, everything we listen to, everything we look at is actually in the business of spiritually forming you. Entertainment and music is in the business of spiritually shaping you. Let's get very real for a second here. Fox News and CNN are in the business of spiritually forming you. They want to get you to think a certain way so that you watch their stuff and they make more money on advertisement. They're in the business of spiritually forming you. Influencers on social media are in the business of forming you spiritually. They may not say that, but that's exactly what they're doing. They're trying to get you to believe and think a certain way that helps their financial standing. You're a spiritual being. Our world is a spiritual world. And so we're gonna get into this tonight and we're gonna start answering the question, what or whom is forming you? The tough reality is this. If you are a person who goes to church, most likely you go to church maybe 1-2 hours a week, maybe go one on Sunday and one on Tuesday, so 2 hours a week. If we're gonna look ratio-wise, 1 or 2 hours of church on Sunday or Tuesday cannot overcome 6 days and 22 hours of shaping and forming by this world. Can't do it. There's no way. If you ratio that, I'm not good at math, so I didn't do it, but that's a pretty stark contrast. If you go to church 1 hour a week, it's six days and 23 hours. That you think that 1 hour is gonna overcome everything else. And so we have to ask, don't we? Don't we have to ask for our own well-being? What am I allowing during those 6 days and 23 hours to shape me? What am I allowing into my life that is forming me? And so tonight we are gonna talk about forming your life. And so Psalm 1, we're gonna do the whole thing. It's only a few verses, here we go. If you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screen. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. If you know me, I'm not a big guy on poetry, but the Psalms bring a strange comfort to my life. And this one is the very first one. This is the doorway to the book of Psalms. What the psalmist is doing here is he's painting a portrait of two different people, the wicked and the wise. The one who follows the way of the world and the one who follows the ways of the Lord. One way or another. That's our series, one way or another. And that's what the psalmist is talking about Jesus talks about the same thing in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. This is this famous passage where Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, one way, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it, one way or another. And then Robert Frost, I think the famous American poet, stole this idea from Jesus in his poem, The Road Not Taken. It says this, two roads diverged into the wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. It's the same idea. Whether it's Psalm 1 or Jesus in Matthew 7 or Robert Frost's poem, it points to one way or another, and it does make all the difference, both in this life and in the next, because this life will end. We don't know if that will be tonight as we drive home or 70 years from now. We don't know. And so passages like this, it's not a fleeting idea. We are spiritual beings. So as we go through this, when we look at the definitions of these words, because we got to define some words here so we know exactly what the psalmist is saying, because some of these words mean different things than we think. So that first word in verse 1, blessed is the one. That word blessed is not physical blessing. Like we think about, like, oh, I'm so blessed. I got a job, or I got a new car, or I got a new outfit. I'm so blessed. We're not talking about physical blessing. That's prosperity gospel talk that actually worships the physical stuff. This blessing, the Hebrew word is a share, and it means happy or fulfilled. It doesn't mean physical blessing. It means happy and fulfilled. We see this same word in 1 Kings 10:8, where the queen of Sheba, all right, you may have heard of that lady, she comes to visit King Solomon in Jerusalem. And King Solomon is the wisest king to ever live. And this is what Queen Sheba says to Solomon. And it's the same word, blessed. How happy your people must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. It's an inner happiness. It's a fulfillment. So fulfilled and happy is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. That's our next word, wicked. That word wicked, we don't use it very often. Maybe you think of it as a Broadway musical. That's not what we're talking about. This word wicked in the original Hebrew means someone who is against or hostile towards God. Like we would be really like, I mean, it would be really tough these days. Like, you are wicked. All right. So if that's a little too harsh, it means someone who is just against God or hostile to the ways of God. And so let's pick back up in verse 1 with those definitions and let's move through this. Blessed is the one. And he does this weird thing. He doesn't go into who's blessed. He says, who does not? He does that as a literary device to get your attention. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. So my first point tonight is that there is a way that seems right. There is a way that seems right. Like if you look at this, look at the progression of the person that the psalmist is describing. Right, we see this all the time. Like, so if, let's start over here. If I'm just walking along, I'm just minding my own, but I am just walking in the flow of traffic on the sidewalk. Here we go. Everybody's going this way. He's just walking. In what? In the way of the wicked. He's walking in the way of those who are opposed to God. What that sounds like to me is that just sounds like humanity. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. We see it in almost every book of the Bible. That the way of the world is against the Lord. And it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. And that word in step just kind of means in rhythm with. It fits in, it's in rhythm with the wicked. So one of my favorite things to do that I've only done like two or three times is whitewater rafting. Anybody ever done that before? It's fantastic and it's terrifying. It's fantastic because it's terrifying. That's what it is. Like you might die, like legit might die. You could drown, hit your head on a rock, whatever. You could die. So it's a huge adrenaline rush. But it's also awesome because of the adrenaline rush. It's fantastic. If you haven't done it, go do it. But here's one of the things that just, it blew my mind, is when we first got in the boat, this guy that I just met 15 minutes before, that my life is now in their hands, I trust implicitly. And this is what they would say every time I went. They would say, here's the deal. When we get on this raft, you need to listen to me. And when I say something, you need to do it. And here's why. It's not because they're just control freaks. It's because the river wants to take you, and it will take you wherever it wants to go. But the river will naturally take you to dangerous places. It will slam you against rocks. It will flip your boat. It will suck you under the water. He says, my job is to guide you along the flow, because the flow is where you're going. It will take you. And so what I learned when I was whitewater rafting was this: I have never listened to a stranger's voice so intently in my entire life. I mean, I'm rowing and I'm like this, right? I want one ear squarely on this dude, because as soon as he says something, I want to do it. I think that's the heart of the psalmist here. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. The flow of life will take you in the wrong way. If we live in rhythm with this world, it will take us in the wrong way, and it will end up, we will be shaped in a way that we do not want to be shaped, that will lead to destruction. And then after the walking, all of a sudden this person is standing, right? So we're starting over here, right? We're walking and we're listening, like, oh yeah, okay, that sounds fine, whatever, no big deal. Wait, hold on. What'd you say? There's a physical response, right? When we stop, what does that typically mean? We're not listening. We're not just going with the flow. We are now like, what? What'd you say? I want to hear more about that. Maybe some of you are walking in work and someone calls your name and you stop. You're like, whoa, hold on. What? What's up? So when we see this progression of walking and standing, there's a spiritual formation thing happening here. It's not just going with the flow. Like when I was a kid and we used, okay, this is gonna age me, but forgive me, but we had cassette tapes, right? That's how we listened to music. When the CDs came out, we're like, holy cow, this is amazing. But my mom would read the lyrics in the little CD case or the cassette case. And she'd be like, Andy, I don't think you should be listening to these. Have you read these lyrics? I'm like, Mom, I don't listen to the lyrics. I just like the beat. Fully knowing I knew every lyric. And to this day, I still do. And so this idea that, hey, we're just going with the flow, but we don't listen, we don't hear, we're not influenced by it, that's garbage. We are absolutely influenced by our culture that is absolutely opposed to the ways of God. And so this person goes from standing or walking, going with the flow, to standing, which represents that in agreement with. It's not just going with the flow, it's now I'm listening and I'm agreeing. I'm like, okay. And so the psalmist is saying, don't stand in the way that sinners take. Don't agree with that. And then he moves on to sit, right? We go from walking to standing to sitting. We've gone from going with the flow to being in agreement to now we're sitting with it. And the image here, the idea that comes with this is we now become a teacher and a recruiter to this way. We're actually trying to get other people to come on in. And so that gives us a different view of blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. You see, not only is this person gone with the flow and has come to an agreement of the ways that are opposed to God's ways, they have become an active ambassador of the ways of the world. And so when we start to think about the music we listen to and the movies we watch and the shows we tell other people to watch, like, hey, you gotta watch this, it's hilarious. What are we recruiting them to? When we're scrolling on social media or we're watching the news, are we aware of how it is being shaped, how we are being shaped by it? You know you're being shaped by it when your emotions get involved. Let's be honest. When someone posts something and your emotions rise up, that's when you know you've been formed. You've been shaped. When someone says, you know, post something and you're like, yes, retweet. You've been shaped. You've been formed. You've been influenced. And now you have sat as a disciple of that idea or that person. So then the question comes is, who are we retweeting? Who are we reposting? Who are we standing and watching and saying, mm-hmm, that sounds right. Is it the things of God or the ways of this world? Is it pushing people to power or pushing people to repentance? When I was a kid, there was a song that we would sing in Sunday school. And it came to my mind as I was thinking about this. And the song goes like this: oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Can't go any higher than that. And then the last line says, oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. And it may not be today where you actually go, because you can sit right there wherever you are. You can go anywhere. And so maybe that little nursery rhyme fits the eyes and fits the ears, but maybe it's, oh, be careful, little fingers, where you go. Where are we going? What are we typing? Why? Because this little nursery rhyme knew Proverbs 14:12. And it says this: there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There is a way that seems right to the world, but in the end, it leads to death. Let's continue on to verse 2, right? It says, blessed is the one who does not, and now we're at but. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person that meditates on the Lord, the law of the Lord, who delights in it, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And that word prospers means beneficial. Everything is beneficial. Because Romans 8:28 is true, that everything that God's a part of, that he's working in your life, he's working it out for your good and for his glory. And so my second point tonight is that there is a way that is right. There is a way that seems right, and there is a way that is right. And see, we like to live in a world that will not say that. You be you. God's word does not mince words. There is a way that seems right to a man and it leads to death. But there is a way that is right. And verse 2 says, the way that is right is the person that delights in God's words and God's ways. We walk and we stand and we sit in the ways of God. We can take the example of the wicked in the walking, in the standing, and in the sitting, and we can just walk and stand and sit before God's word and God's ways. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, and even now, oftentimes, I don't feel like delighting in God's word or God's ways. I wake up every day. It's a discipline for me. Most days, it is a discipline. I need to get in God's word. And so that delight starts with discipline for me. I'm going to discipline myself to be in God's word. And as I'm in God's word, I start to, oh yeah, I love this. This is good for my soul because I'm a spiritual person. And so the psalmist is saying, blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. And if you don't delight, I want to challenge you going into this year, would you be willing to acquire a taste for God's word? Can we be honest? We acquire a taste for a lot of terrible things. A lot of things that we don't like initially, we're like, you know what? But the benefits of it, I'm gonna acquire a taste for it. For me, it's been coffee. Coffee's gross. I've hated it my whole life. It's bitter. It's never the same wherever you go. Everybody makes it different. You're like, ugh. But you know what? What's the benefit of coffee? Couple things. One, it gives us a little boost of caffeine, which wakes us up a little bit in the morning. Or maybe when you're getting tired at night and you're studying, you're like, I need a caffeine kick. Let's get some coffee. Triple shot. Let's go. Right? There's a benefit. I was telling other people that my wife, I think she likes coffee for the benefits of caffeine, but I think she likes it more for just the warm feeling of the mug. There's full coffee mugs of coffee all over our house. Have not been drank because she likes just to hold it. Read the book, read her Bible, hold the coffee, walk around when she's cold, right? It warms you up. But there are whole industries in our world that make money off of making something that we don't enjoy taste good. Right? Starbucks, how many flavors do they have to manipulate the coffee so that you will ingest it and buy more? That's what we do. I am like a half cream, half coffee guy. Like, I asked Paige to give me some more cream, and she brought it to me Sunday morning in Sunday school, and I was like, I need more cream. It's still too dark. Like, I needed a nice tan color because I want the benefits. I'm a weakling when it comes to coffee, but this idea, I mean, whether it's coffee or green tea, ugh, right? Like, we drink things because of the benefit. Would we be willing to acquire a taste for God's word because of the benefit both today and for eternity? So we delight in God's word. It says, there is a way, it says, blessed is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. And then secondly, blessed is the one who meditates on his law day and night. So we meditate on God's word and God's ways. We ponder, we marinate, we interact with it so that it doesn't just stay here, but it becomes a part of who we are. Like, think of a sponge. If you're a visual learner like me, I think of a sponge. A sponge dry and not soaked in water is useless. So you dump it in the bucket and it comes out dripping. And then you go and you use the sponge. And as you use it, it gets emptied again. And so we go back and we stick it in the bucket again so it's useful again. Like, your bucket every day is God's word. Soak yourself in it, marinate in it, interact with God's word so that it isn't just something we talk about, it's something that interacts and is integrated in who we are. That the flavor of your life would be the flavor of God's word and God's ways. That when people interact with you, they know God. They see what God's like because they hang out with you, a Christian. So what are we marinating in? What are we soaking in? Because those things are forming us. And then lastly, after we work on delighting in God's words and God's ways, and we meditate on God, in God's word and on God's ways, then in verse 3, it says who you will be like. When we do these things, is that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And so you have the opportunity and choice right here to plant yourself. The question is, with whom, around whom, and in what will you plant your soul? Right? My dad died almost 6 years ago. I will never forget this time. We went out to visit him in California. They had moved out there to take care of my grandmother. And after about 4 days, my brother was like, man, it's really hard to be around dad right now. And we started talking about, like, why? And we figured it out. Because my dad was a traveling salesman. And so he would listen to political talk radio for almost 6 hours every day. And he became angry. He became unloving. And he just was complaining all the time. Everybody's terrible. And so if you ever, like, I don't know what kind of relationship you have with your parents, but when my brother and I, we were in our early 20s, mid-20s, sat my dad down and had an intervention with him about political talk radio. Like, Dad, you've got to stop. You are a miserable person and we don't enjoy being around you. And we love you enough to tell you, you have planted yourself in a place that is now producing fruit and it's bitter. And so he stopped. I mean, not totally. But he did. And it made a huge difference in our family because he started to delight in other things and listen to music and listen to books. And so we get to, you get to choose your spiritual nourishment. You get to choose. What are you gonna nourish your soul with? Is it gonna be TikTok? Is it gonna be Instagram? Is it gonna be the news channels? Is it gonna be, what is it? What are you going to allow to feed you spiritually? It's wherever you plant yourself. And so the warning earlier was, hey, be careful walking and standing and sitting in the way of the wicked. The encouragement here is be planted in God's word and God's ways, and you will produce fruit that is beneficial in every season. I don't care if you're going through the worst season of your life. When you are planted in God's word, he is going to bear fruit out of that season that is prosperous and beneficial for you. Because here's the thing about fruit, is the fruit isn't for the tree. The tree doesn't eat its own fruit. The fruit is for other people. And so the fruit that we're bearing in our life spiritually is actually for those around you, your coworkers and your family and your friend group, those that you're dating. What you are planting yourself in is going to be impacting the person you're dating. And so let's just be honest. If we're planting ourselves in things that give us a terrible image of women or men, if we're planting ourselves in pornography, it is going to affect the people we date. It is. It's going to bear fruit. Let's continue in verse 4. Not so the wicked, right? They're not going to bear fruit that is prosperous. Not so with the wicked. They're like chaff. And with that word, we don't know what that means. Here's what it means. It's an agricultural term. They would harvest wheat. They would cut the wheat down, they'd bring the wheat, and they'd take it, they'd throw it on the floor, and they'd smash it. Because when they would smash it, they'd run it through a press or they'd step on it, it would break the wheat. And the wheat part that's valuable would fall to the ground. It would break off. And what they'd do is they'd pick up all of the broken wheat and they'd throw it up in the air. And the wind would blow away the chaff, the worthless stuff. And what was left was what was valuable, the wheat. And so what he's saying is not so with the wicked. They're like chaff, wind blows it away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked leads to destruction. My last point tonight is that there is fruit either way. There is fruit either way. One way is a spiritually fruitless life which leads to destruction. Sin is enticing. Satan knows what he's doing. It doesn't look bad. It doesn't feel bad. He's been around a lot longer than us. But what he offers is destruction. Both in our life today, we'll be enslaved by stuff, and in the life to come. Destruction here means that separation from God for eternity, that all the goodness of the world that we experience will be no more. The reason there's goodness in the world at any level is because God is present and he is with and he is working, and there will be a day, God's word says, there'll be a day where God's goodness will be taken because God cannot be with sin. Just like the Garden of Eden, there will be a day where there'll be a separating of those who are following the Lord and submitted to him, and there'll be another group that the chaff will be blown away. And we don't know when that day is coming. And so it brings the urgency to this idea of where are we gonna plant ourselves? Under whose authority will we submit our lives? So the one way is spiritually fruitless, but another way is spiritually fruitful, which leads to God's blessing and his protection. It says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. There will be a separating. There'll be one way and another. For the Lord watches over, he protects the righteous. And so in review, there is a way that seems right and it leads to death. And there is a way that is right that is right and it leads to life. And there is fruit produced either way. One way is worthless and one way is fruitful. One way is temporary and one way is eternal. One way or another, we're making our choice. My encouragement to you is that there is a God who loves you, who knows you. Like I said earlier, he knows everything. Right? It takes me to my favorite passage right now in my life. If you're a young adult that's been around in my Sunday school or whatever, you've heard this. I preached on this back in December. Titus 3 verse 3 says this, "For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by various passions and pleasures." We were enslaved, living in malice and envy, hateful, detesting one another. I don't know about you, but that sounds like our world today. That is the fruit of our world. The fruit of the flow of culture is this, an enslavement, a hatred. It's just, it's not good. But then in verse 4 of Titus chapter 3 says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared," that's you, mankind, "he saved us." It's when God's kindness appeared, Jesus saved us. It's not your goodness, it's not your church attendance, it's not your good behavior that saves you. It is God's kindness that saves you. He's not angry, he's loving, and he says, "I want to rescue my people. I want to get them back." And so the gospel of Jesus is not a rule to live by. It's a gracious God and Savior to submit to and say, "I see, you know me. You know that I was disobedient. You know I'm foolish. You know what I'm enslaved to, the passions and pleasures that control my days and my mind. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, appeared and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not by the works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy." His mercy has saved us. He poured out his Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified, made right by his grace, we may become heirs. We have a new family and a hope of eternal life. We're Christians not for a better day. We're Christians because God is good and he is kind and he has rescued us, even though he knows everything about us. So what do we do with this? If you're new, we end up every message with "so what?" Here's my "so what's." Number one, I wanna challenge you. Would you decide daily to put Jesus in charge of your spiritual forming? Would you identify who currently is in charge of that for you, either on purpose or just on accident? Who gets you fired up? Who directs your thoughts and your passions and your emotions? Would you decide daily to put Jesus in charge of forming you? Number two, a part of that is deciding to plant yourself daily in God's word. Right? This is where that New Year's resolution kind of thing comes in. Would you decide to plant yourself, dig deep roots? And to do this, you may have to uproot yourself from old habits and say, "You know, I'm gonna replant my life." And then thirdly, as Jay talked about earlier, we don't walk this life of faith alone. Would you get around others weekly who are doing the same thing that you're doing? We invite people over to our house to watch games because we're fans of the same team and we get together to watch the game. Or we are all fans of this show and so we're like, "Oh, we're gonna watch party and let's get together and order some food and let's watch the show." We do this. So why wouldn't we naturally get together around God's word and say, let's together get into this and work through, what does this look like in our life? What does it look like to bear fruit for God's kingdom in my workplace? And what does it look, what areas of my life do I need to uproot and replant? And so would you decide daily to put Jesus in charge of your spiritual formation? Would you take up God's word and plant yourself in the soil of his truth? And would you get around to others weekly who are doing the same thing? Because like Plato, we are being formed spiritually. Our inner self is being given shape. our inner self is beginning of character and a pattern. As we go into this year, would you be willing to take an inventory of yourself and ask some good and honest questions like, who have I allowed to form me? And is that who I want forming me? Is it for my good or for their bank account? Do they care about you? Do they care about your future family? Do they care about your eternity, or do they just care about the ratings? So at the gathering, we do 120 seconds. It's not that long, but it can feel long in a world of craziness. 2 minutes of quiet. I'm gonna put Psalm 1 back on the screen. And for 120 seconds, I wanna invite you to read it over for yourself. And then ask God, God, which one am I? In my life, am I walking and standing and sitting in the way of the wicked? Or what areas of my life am I doing that? God, would you help me walk in the way of the righteous and the wise, that I would bear fruit in my life and for your kingdom? So let me pray and then we'll put those on the screen. Lord, thank you for this evening. God, thank you for just the ability and the health to come back together. Holy Spirit, we know that you are working in our lives. You are the one that draws us to God. And so Lord, would you work tonight? Would you draw us to yourself? Would you open our eyes and take off the scales that have blinded us from what we've planted ourselves in? Would you convict us? Would you encourage us? Would you strengthen us to see your goodness and your kindness, that you have saved us? God, would you open our eyes to see the wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And would you strengthen us to walk in your ways? In your son's name, amen.